Welcome to Behind the Game, the Kids in the Game official podcast, where we cover the intersection of youth development, sports, education, and technology in the New York City landscape.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 11 of Behind the Game, the Kids in the Game official podcast. On this episode, we are joined by Chanel Mosley. She is the Deputy Director of Sports Partnerships at UNICEF. She does fantastic work there. We're so happy that she was able to join us. So without further ado, check it out here. Okay, we are now joined by Chanel Mosley. She is the Deputy Director of Sports Partnerships for UNICEF USA. Yes. I hope I got all of that correct. Welcome to our office. I appreciate you coming down.
Thanks. This is my first time here, so it's pretty awesome.
Well, we have only been in this space for a couple months. We were co-working for a while, so we are a grown-up company now. Yes, which is fantastic.
Magic happens.
Yes, absolutely. But the first one, you know, I want to give you the opportunity to tell everybody your background, your journey, how you got to UNICEF, and we can go from there.
Awesome. So, of course, Deputy Director of Sports Partnerships at UNICEF USA. My journey with UNICEF has been a pretty long journey. I would say I've been involved with the organization for about a decade.
Started
from the bottom over here. Started as an intern in our Boston office on the development side, and I was really fascinated in how they were engaging donors and supporters in that, you know, in that wheelhouse to get them to support UNICEF, to share the stories, to share the impact, but then also get them to not only like contribute their own funds, but want to support on a larger level, like speaking up, advocating, educating others about the space. And I had also studied abroad, and so I was just really fascinated by, you know, people coming together to make a difference around the world. After that, I went on to grad school. I did my internship during undergrad, and then from there, I went to grad school, and I focused on nonprofit management, but with a specific focus in sport and social change. Growing up as a kid whose parents were in the military, sports were that one consistent thing for us. No matter where we lived around the world or around the country, there was always a ball. And, you know, you guys know just like the power of sports in bringing kids together, but also shaping them into the people they are today. And so UNICEF really gave me that opportunity to blend all of my passions, my passion for sport, my passion for giving back, and then also making a difference for children. And so I've been involved in sports partnerships at UNICEF, I would say, for the last 4 years, but my main career has always been in the nonprofit space and specifically using sports for good.
You had a... You know, I think in this world, we see where you came from and where you worked previously, and it's all familiar to us. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is, and I'll kind of go over them, but, you know, you started as an intern,
yeah.
Then you were an admissions associate, then you worked for Scholar Athletes, then AmeriCorps, and then you were a fellow.
Yeah.
How important is it for someone who gets to your level now to work in that, like, deep programming environment so they really
so
understand
important.
Yeah, what works, what doesn't.
Yeah. That's a good
like
question,
that.
And I think that's honestly why I'm so appreciative of my journey and the work that I'm doing now, because having that direct service experience makes you really get it. It makes you understand. It makes you see the power behind those meaningful connections. You know, I worked in Boston Public Schools. I worked in after-school programming. And when you have the opportunity to directly impact and work with young people using sport for good, it puts you in a pivotal position to make a difference, but then also have the opportunity to see that difference live and in action. And I used to do something called camelbacking, because it's hard. You're in the trenches. There's days where these kids are experiencing things that you never would have even imagined, and it breaks your heart. But then for you to be a caring adult in their life that is driving that change, letting them know you're a kid, you can dream, whatever your dreams are, we can help see that to fruition, or you can change your behavior. It makes a huge difference to be that person in a person's life. And so for me now to be on the other side of it all, I appreciate the journey. I'm grateful for the young, you know, people that are in these young people's lives making a difference like you guys on a daily basis. And it makes me also think and constantly reflect back to those moments where, yes, there might be really challenging, tough moments, but then this is what I called it camelbacking.
Mm-hmm.
You have those breakthrough, those moments where young people's, you just see the light bulb click and you see how you are intentionally making a difference in their lives and it means something. And I save those in my Camelback hump for those challenging days when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. It's been a long day. You know, little Billy, little Rashad gave me a tough time today. But then you see the light bulb click in Billy or Rashad, and you're like, wow. Yep. All that work that I've been putting in makes a difference. And so that's why I'm still passionate about the importance of putting children first, because every kid deserves the opportunity to dream big dreams. Every kid deserves the opportunity to make a difference and live that life the way that they would love to. And they need the right support and mm-hmm. they need the right resources to do that. And so I think with organizations like you guys and even with UNICEF and so many other amazing other ones around the world and in this country, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that saying, the Camelback. We're going to steal that. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Store those good moments in your Camelback because you might need them on those tough days.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So what, specifically to UNICEF, what does sports partnerships mean? What does that look like? And who have you been working with, you know, recently that, you know, you've been able to create something something meaningful?
I love my role. I mean, the only person within the organization that's specifically dedicated to building and growing our relationships with individual professional athletes, teams across the country, and then also the different leagues from, you know, WWE to NBA to working with the NFL. And all of these relationships that I work with, they're all different. And so my days are always different. You know, we have our key moments here, you know, at UNICEF where we are encouraging people to rally around those moments and speak up about issues that children are facing around the world. But then also sometimes they come to me and say, Chanel, we have this crazy idea. We want to do it. How can we work together? And so it's kind of a little bit of me sharing my ideas and creative moments with them to support our life-saving work, but then also them coming to us and saying, hey, we have this opportunity. We would love to spotlight UNICEF as a global leading partner in this space to make a difference for kids. I can kind of share a specific example with WWE. We've been working with them around the UNICEF Kid Power program that's getting kids in classrooms, in after-school programs, to think about how they can have their everyday actions make a difference around the world. And the reality is, like, when these celebrities or athletes speak up about issues, people listen. But also we're in this interesting space here in America that young people are realizing they want to speak up and make a difference, and they can do that. And so this program and initiative and partnership together is really focused around empowerment and letting them know, as a young person, you too can make a difference just by doing basic little things that can make a big, you know, a big difference. Little things can have a big impact. And so we're providing classroom content with WWE that's empowering kids, getting them to think about the world around them, asking them, what are your wishes for yourself? What are your wishes for your classroom or your community? And then also on a larger scale, what are your wishes for the world? And when we did our partnership launch, we got to visit a school. And this school was comprised of refugee children that just recently had resettled into America. And these kids were saying that their wishes were not just for themselves. They weren't just wishing for, like, oh, a new PlayStation 4. They were wishing that all kids, like, had the opportunity to have a good quality education, had a safe place to sleep at night, had food. They weren't realizing that kids are motivated to help other kids at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the Kid Power Initiative and WWE. What are some of the other, you know, more successful partnerships that you guys have had over the years that, you know, has really either worked at scale or even if it was local, you know, even to here in New York, you know, that really made a big difference?
I mean, you guys see it on the FC Barcelona jerseys. You know, that is such a unique and clever partnership where you see UNICEF on the back of their jerseys every time somebody's scoring, playing, making pass, making a move. They are an incredible leader in the sports for development space. You know, they even care so much about sports for development. They said, you know what? There's not enough data and research to support the positive elements about sports for development. So we're going to take this on as a research project. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to share our findings because we want other people to know about these things that people should be considering as they're talking about sports for development. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to build programs that are intentionally structured and have a framework built around this. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to scale it up. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to share all of this with everybody, because if people are doing things in the sports for development space, we want for them to use this as a model and then to do more work to help kids, you know, sports for development for children. And so there's just, it just shows there's so much power behind sports. And so the FC Barcelona is a great example of that. FC Barcelona partnership is a great one. We, of course, partner with the NBA. Their reach is incredible. I mean, we've collaborated with them around NBA Africa. You know, we've collaborated them around emergencies, major campaigns, from the End Polio campaign to, End Ebola campaign. And just the reach that they have. I think about a third of the league is from another country around the world. Mm-hmm. And so they get it. And I literally have some of the NBA players send me a text and like, what's going on in Yemen? How can I help? Just or, fantastic. You know, I'm flying out next month to Detroit for an event that we're doing. And Jose Calderon is getting involved. He's a UNICEF supporter. And so, he's a UNICEF ambassador. And so it's just awesome to see leagues that care so much about the world around them. They're launching their game in India. They have games in Mexico. And so they're helping to use their platform to raise awareness about the work that they're doing. And, you know, whether it's at the league level, we have teams that want to activate. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks reached out to us after the devastating fires that happened over the summer in Athens, Greece. They said, hey, you know, Giannis is from there. This is something that matters to us. We want to be able to support. How can we help?
Yeah, that's actually a perfect segue to my next question. I mean, obviously with UNICEF being such a massive organization and trying to solve so many different problems, I think it's twofold. One, how hard is it to create programming and partnerships that are able to scale and also super effective? And then is it more, I mean, you just mentioned Milwaukee and other people reaching out, so I think I know the answer, but is it more UNICEF reaching out to other people to create, or are people coming to you looking to create a partnership?
I think it's really a mixture of both. I think right now we have probably the most sports partnerships at UNICEF USA than we've had in the history of UNICEF USA, which is so awesome. And it's kind of like when we work really well with certain partners, like, for example, folks in the league, if they have other colleagues that, you know, are looking to find, you know, a vetted partnership, you know, a vetted partner or collaborator to work on, they're using each other's resources and then connecting them with us. But then also, if, you know, we have regional offices across the country, and so we've been trying to be intentional about building relationships with teams in those communities, figuring out how can we collaborate locally here, but then also think on a larger scale. Sometimes we have people thinking about opportunities in programming in other countries, and so we might pitch them on an opportunity. I know some of our supporters specifically care about country programming or maybe an issue area, whether it's water, nutrition, healthcare, sports for development. And so we kind of work together to ideate and create some of those things, but we work in conjunction with those country offices to figure out what are the greatest needs for children in this country. Because I also try to educate some of our sports partners to let them know, maybe you're really passionate about education, but maybe there's a huge funding gap in their water water programming, and getting them to understand that you can have an even greater difference in this area because there's clearly way greater need. And it's working with them to see, like, they know all the information, they gather the data, they figure out where are the most vulnerable children, where are they the hardest to reach, and how can we reach them. And so I try to educate my partners to let them know that as well, that, you know, sometimes there's the really beautiful and easy story to tell. Sometimes there's the harder stuff. How deep do you want to go? Because we can put in other things in front of you to consider, but I just want to know, like, are you trusting us? And as a partner, that's what I really try to do, is build a strong relationship where it's mutual trust and understanding and what our goals and objectives are.
How has, speaking on that, you know, goals and objectives and making sure that people are unified, how has your department or maybe role specifically changed, you know, maybe not necessarily since you started as an intern, but specifically got here to New York? Have you been here for 6 years?
I've been in New York, I think, about four.
Oh, okay. Years. So how...
No, it's all
good. Yes. How has that changed, whether it be priorities or...
Totally.
How's...
So as an organization, we set our organizational strategies and priorities. The department that I specifically fall under is our marketing and communications team. And then even the sub-team under that is our external comms. So it's thinking about how do we reach new audiences? How do we get new people to support UNICEF that may have never before? How do we dive in deeper to the folks that we know are supporting UNICEF? And then also, you know, how do we continue to use these platforms to educate people, to get them to want to advocate, and then also maybe fundraise and support the work that UNICEF is doing? So my team has really shifted across the organization throughout my time, just because it's been based off of what our priorities are. And so I feel like the team that I'm collaborating with and working with now, it's just been like literally I've been stepped up on a ring, and I'm like, it's the perfect positioning because they get it and we're all kind of moving and grooving towards the right direction. So when we think about our partnerships, rather than thinking of it just from a fundraising lens, how do we tell this story? How do we share this message? Who are we reaching and what's the best way to get to them? And then also tracking the back end of that. It's like, all right, you know, when athletes speak up, people listen, but let's follow their journey. You know, how do we get to see how they remain involved and connected into the work that we do? How do we grow the relationship with them? Whether it's the kids in the game that participate in the Kid Power Challenge or the kids in our programming with WWE, how do we follow the journey? The goal is to shape them into being engaged with us at a young age, to growing up and doing something with our college campus clubs, to becoming a next gen member, to then becoming a, you know, a donor, and then maybe a lifelong person that's thinking about us even beyond.
That's fantastic. One last question that I had for you. You mentioned, you know, sport, the theory of sport for good and sport for development.
Yeah.
I think that has always been around but not labeled. I think everyone knew how powerful the Olympics were. Everyone knows, yeah, if you grew up playing sport, you know, camaraderie and how to be a good teammate and all of those things. I think for the first time recently, probably in the last 5-6 years, mm-hmm, either organizations like UNICEF or universities and colleges have labeled it. They've assigned degrees to it. So it's certainly completely changed in our own landscape. We now have a title. We Kids in the Game is a sport-based youth development,
yeah,
organization. When I got here, we weren't that. That was only three years ago. And so in your opinion, where do you think that goes in the next? I know it's a loaded question.
Yeah.
So you can answer it however, totally, as small or as big as you want, but where do you think the future is in our own space?
I think there's an opportunity to shape what that's going to look like. You know, I think as we get research and data and use findings to show the benefit of it, I think a lot of corporations are starting to think about how they can have a larger social or global impact, and it's going to be organizations like Kids in the Game, UNICEF, those that they're going to seek out that can be viewed as leaders in these space. And rather than them trying to be the experts, they're going to call on to the people that are indeed the experts, that have proven results, that have proven data and things to back it up, to show like, yes, here's the quantitative side of it, but here's the hardcore good beautiful stories that show that sports for development and having, you know, having this space is so important, but then trusting them as partners to initiate, to lead, to almost act on their behalf. I know a lot of sports teams are starting to either dissolve some of their community relations teams or shift the way that they're thinking, and they're trusting in like local partners or global partners to act on programming on their behalf. I think
that's a big shift. I didn't know that.
DC United and DC Scores is a great example of that. So they now lean on DC Scores, which does soccer programming, is like their hook, but they now act on behalf of their community relations team. So rather than the community relations team leading soccer program communities, they're leaning on DC Scores to be the example to do something like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It makes total sense. I mean, these organizations are kind of entrenched in the community. They're with the kids every single day.
In the schools every day.
Yeah, if they can leverage, yeah, the brand and the logo, that only will allow more kids to come.
Exactly.
But if they're with
and
them every day.
Every pitch that DC United does to corporate partners, they have DC Scores in the room, and it's part of every pitch.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do that. There's tons of teams here. Right? We got to make that happen. Well, that was awesome. You're off the hook. You made it. Thank you so much. There's an easy one.
Okay.
Easy one left, and
okay,
you can answer it however you feel. Usually, we ask favorite slice,
okay,
or favorite New York City restaurant. We have had Boston people on the podcast before, so if you would like to say, are you a Patriots fan?
I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, actually.
Cancel the
What are we doing? Pittsburgh
Steelers. I can't believe I allowed you to come in here.
Non-Patriots.
Unbelievable.
No, Pittsburgh Steelers all day, black and yellow.
Well, okay.
All right.
What is your favorite restaurant?
Restaurant or pizza slice?
Yes.
I'm going to go with favorite restaurant. I'm actually a big fan of cafeteria.
It's like, cafeteria?
Yeah.
Where is that?
In the town-ish area. It's pretty cool.
What do they serve? What kind of food?
It's kind
of
like American fusion-y pub. It's just like really
like a cafeteria.
Chicken waffles.
All right.
And then you could also do like a grilled cheese and soup.
Is this like if you're up in Midtown midweek, you'll go? Or is this like
it
a brunch
pub? It might be like a, you know, meet with coworkers after work vibe or on a weekend brunch.
Cafeteria in Midtown.
Yeah.
I think that's our first Midtown one. That's for sure.
Well, it's easy for me. I commute from Jersey, so it's like nice to kind of hop right around there.
What is the name of the place in Pittsburgh that is famous for their sandwiches where they put fries on them? Like
Primanti's?
Primanti's?
Look at you answer your own.
I think that's it. Come on.
I have no clue.
You're a Pittsburgh fan, but not the sandwiches.
Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Pittsburgh Steelers
fan. Not maybe a Pittsburgh fan.
Okay, awesome.
I support all things Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So if that's the answer, then
awesome. Well, thank you again so much. And we will make sure to have you on the podcast again in the near future.
Oh, thank you for having me. You guys are amazing. Love everything that you guys are doing, and I think it's important for you guys to be doing the work that you're doing and making a difference for young people. So thank you for what you guys are doing.
No, of course. We appreciate it. All right. Thank you so much, Chanel.
All right. Signing off. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Game. Make sure to subscribe in the iTunes store and be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Kids in the Game NY and Facebook at Kids in the Game NYC.